This is Laughs and Littles, a conversation about friendship and faith in the midst of motherhood. Life with littles is better when we do it together. So grab a load of laundry and join us for some laughs.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. All I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
Today we have on Nancy Banzich, the founder of Catholic Sprouts. She and her husband, really, they have just a truly rich ministry helping families build up their domestic church. They have six kids, and their oldest is just finishing fifth grade this spring. And we're just really excited to talk to her about the solution for parents who feel insecure about teaching their kids or just wanting more support in teaching their kids about our Catholic faith. And they have a new book for youth on Catholic social teaching. And we want to talk to her about her family's devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So much. Nancy, Yay. Can you tell us which of your kids are in school right now and then which are home with you, like just at this season?
Sure. So, well, first of all, I love your podcast. You guys start such a beautiful way. So this is so fun to be here. So yeah, we have six. And so we have, what is it? Let's see if I can do it. Fifth, fourth, second, first, and then preschool, which is very part-time. And then a one-year-old. So mostly two home with me all the time. We live by a wonderful Catholic school. So I send them there, and I don't have any guilt about not homeschooling.
No, we don't homeschool either.
I want to homeschool, but
that's me with gardening. Yeah,
exactly. But I just love our Catholic school, and I do love dropping them off every morning. So, so that's where I'm at. Yeah. So remind me, give me the rundown. I used to know the ages, and but you know, everyone's kids keep growing up. So how old are your kids?
Second grade, kindergarten, preschool, almost two, and then almost fifth coming soon.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I also love dropping them off at school.
Yes. When are you due?
June 9th.
Wow. Oh yes, very much almost. Wow. You guys are right in lockstep, huh?
Yeah.
And I have obviously my newborn, who's mm-hmm. like 2.5 weeks old, and then 3, 5, 7.
Nice. Nice. I feel like most of the people that we serve at Catholic Sprouts and, you know, my own sisters and stuff, we're all sort of in this like very nervous waiting moment where we're like, we know all the garbage out there. We've been trying really hard to keep our children protected from it. But it's like, we all know it's inevitable. You know, at some point, they'll be exposed to pornography. At some point, you know, like I can't screen everything they watch and there'll be a gay relationship on there, right? Like it's just, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these are really hard, like all of these are really hard topics. And I mean, everything, I really love your story of how you guys like started everything with Catholic Sprouts, just like making it bite-sized and wanting to be the primary educators. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just, in going through all of really all of your content and all of the different things that you guys provide at Catholic Sprouts, seeing the authenticity of wanting to create something that's like for your family. And then it's like, oh, other people do need this. But you said at one point that you realized that the podcast that you guys made wasn't really for kids. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So that's a beautiful thing about a podcast, right? Like a child's very rarely going to ever turn it on for themselves. Right. And you know, Catholic parents, we're really funny. We're really, and I will like see this about myself is that I'll do a lot of things for my children that I won't do for myself. Mm-hmm. You know, like my kids are in a book club, you know, and you better believe we buy the book and they read the book and they show up for the book club. But when it comes to me, Like, I have tried to do well-read moms like 10 times and flaked every time. You know, it's just we're funny like that. There's a whole bunch of like tremendous catechetical podcasts out there for adults.
But there really weren't like 8 years ago when you guys, yeah. I mean, when did you start this?
Like 4 years ago.
4 years
ago.
Yeah, okay,
but
yeah.
So much has even changed in four years. Yeah. Yeah, so much has changed in 4 years. But I still think it's true. It's like we get into habits for our children. Like a lot of parents listen while they're driving to school. My kids are here. I'm going to get into a habit and listen. And really, I mean, I think you guys probably agree with this. Like the best way for kids to learn anything is from their parents. The teachers at Catholic Sprouts are the parents. My hope mm-hmm. is really that like a parent is listening to the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then after it's done, I learned this with my kids. If I just say like, what did you hear? Then they'll all say something. And sometimes that's all it will be. But very often it will be a conversation. Even if they're just repeating something they had just heard, what they say in that moment is so much more important than anything that I shared in that 5 minute episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We really like how each episode ends with that prompt, like something to get mm-hmm. the family involved. And also, so maybe transitioning to the Catholic social teaching for youth, but on your Just One Small Thing podcast, how you've been going through the topics in the book mm-hmm. on that podcast, I also really appreciated your emphasis there on just exactly what you're saying of like, as you approach thinking about sharing this topic with your kids, whatever the topic is, first, think about how it's impacted your life and what stories you have to share about, you know, the death penalty,
yeah.
whatever it is from your experience, so that you have something real to talk about with the kids. Because, and as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, like that's what they're going to mm-hmm. grab onto. Mm-hmm. That's going to make it more of a real conversation, not just this like abstract kind of yeah. thing out there that I'm telling you about, but like that stories and parents' experiences and being able to articulate, that's how kids learn.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in the episode on the death penalty, I shared that I had an uncle who was murdered, and all of a sudden the death penalty was, you know, this like real thing. Would we push for the death penalty? Would we not? And what's really interesting is if you think, and it does make sense, like from a child's perspective, I can quote catechism. I can even quote our priest or the Pope or whoever it is. But like you become an authority on that topic when you share that you actually in your real life encountered mm-hmm. it. So Catholic social teaching, like you mentioned, Catholic social teaching for youth, it covers all 31 topics laid out by the USCCB. So everything there's Dignity of the Human Person, which covers topics like abortion, death penalty, suicide, medical ethics, euthanasia, pornography, and then also Call to Marriage and Family, which is, you know, transgender, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, openness to life, sex before marriage, all the mm-hmm. things. And then all the other topics like worker rights, war on terrorism, treatment of animals, stewardship of the land. So mm-hmm. all of them. And it is my hope that a parent will sit down with the child with no prep, like something happened, mm-hmm. like let's go home, pull the book off the shelf and learn mm-hmm. together.
Right. Okay. So here's my question for you. So you sent yeah. it to us and we, you know, read through it and it's such a great book and, you know, it says youth and I feel like it's kind of ambiguous on purpose. And based on listening to other stuff that you put out, I feel like you are more in line with front loading kids younger rather than like waiting till they're older. So I want you and I at the same time on the count of three, I want you to tell me, I want you to tell me what age you think this book is best for. Okay. Ready?
Oh man. All topics.
Yeah. Just like a general. Yeah.
Your sexuality is good, holy, and beautiful. If that doesn't feel true, you're in the right place. We believe Jesus knows your sexual brokenness and is inviting you to wholeness. We hope to bring you that invitation every week as we explore topics from friendship to fantasy, loneliness to lust, and more. We are dedicated to helping you connect your struggle to your story and your story to God, because every bit of you is sacred by design.
Okay, Okay, ready? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 10.
12. Oh, you said
wow. But you have more experience with 12-year-olds. My husband was teaching middle school last year. And so when he was looking through it, he was like, these kids in particular, and this is only, 150 students or so. He's like, most of these kids, he was like, their questions are already so far beyond this. They like missed this formation. Okay. Well, anyway, it's up to the parents.
It's just like a beautiful book. It is, when I got it in the mail, I was like, oh yeah, like this is like a resource with like the spiral, I could see a kid flipping through it and being like, oh, this topic, I want to like learn about this. But in conjunction with, it's like, depending on the age and the kid and the topic, definitely doing it with the parent. But I could also see a kid, just being able to read through it.
Because when we talk about the age that it would be appropriate, I think most families have been through this. Like my sister-in-law went through a really nasty divorce and our kids were, our oldest was 9. But I would say even like as young as 6, fully understood. And it was a lot of questions like, because it was really nasty. And it's like, they would call him Uncle Jason and my husband would have a reaction. And he's like, no, he's not your uncle anymore. we'd have to. So divorce is one of the topics in here. And I feel like that's probably where a lot of people would start. And the way that is written, it really enforces, sex isn't a part of that conversation at all. It's about God's plan. Why is marriage permanent? Why does the church teach I think the catechism calls it like a plague on our society, divorce. And so like, why is it? Why does it hurt? What do we do with people afterwards? That kind of questions. So I think like there's some topics and then even animals, my kids are very fascinated. Do animals go to heaven? Do animals have souls? Those are really good questions. And like a really young child could definitely maybe they're not going to, purge the depths of that conversation.
Do you guys have the pets? Is that why?
You guys have pets?
We have no pets.
No, I don't either.
We have some fish.
Oh, that's right. You have fish. That's right. That's new. I keep forgetting.
We had fish for like 2 days and then they died. It was very sad. And then we had a hamster for like a 2 days and he died. My husband and I are like,
you're not good.
we're not good stewards. One of my sisters has a whole menagerie. They have like cows, pigs, goats, chickens, cats, dogs, everything.
Do they homeschool?
No, they didn't. No.
Sarah, can you talk about the contraception section? I think our audience will really.
Oh yeah. That was just like one of the ones I flipped through of like, oh, so I like how you give like a brief but deep explanation of why it's not part of God's plan, like what the real problem of it is, people being tempted to use each other as objects. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a section on like this in the world and saints, like a saint who kind of exemplifies this. So you have Louis and Zaylee Martin, and I have a Zaylee, so do. I love the Martins. Yeah, like them saying yes to marriage, even though that wasn't what they first wanted. And then yes to children, yes to a life they didn't plan for. And then the call to action section. And we really liked that one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just felt like the call to action, it was so specific. It was so clear, but it's not getting into like too deep into things they might not be, it's good to like front load kids, but not answer questions that they don't actually have. It's like that very delicate balance. I feel like the book does that really well. And like, I just loved on the section, of like contraception, it was like, okay, what do the call to action, I think was like, what do we do? And it was like, okay, get mm-hmm. educated on this. There are natural ways to space out children. It's not like, here's what your mucus is, but it's like, so say no to a doctor if he wants to put you on birth control, just because it's probably masking other symptoms. And, and you explain it's not wrong if you're not having sex, but in general, this is why we want to say no to contraception. And just like it's in there again and again, like be kind and be loving to people when you share this information. Cause I feel like middle schoolers, especially that age, like when you get passionate about something, you want to go like preach it to everyone.
You just want to win.
I know. And it's like you already anticipate that they're going to do that. So it's like, okay, calm down. But I love that. And you've got like, examples of the Bible, like Sarah said, the saints.
Yeah. So one of the, we worked on this book for a long time and we really wrestled with how do we give kids, youth, whatever that word means, how do we give them like a really complete answer? Because the truth is any home with a copy of the catechism has all these answers. It's not like these answers aren't elsewhere. So we wanted to take it in stages. So first we're like, okay, we need to share the truth. And then we also really wanted to take on the lies, like so we titled it wrestling with this topic in the real world. So like, what are the lies that are out there? Because they're really powerful lies. For example, for abortion, the idea that like an unborn fetus is not a human life, just taking that on front. But then it's interesting, all these different lies for contraception, that I should be able to choose to have a child or not, that I should be able to control that. And so we wanted to take those on head on and then reinforce the truth. And then in the next section, we really wanted to bring Jesus into the conversation. Like how did Jesus respond to these topics? And it's tricky because things like contraception, homosexuality, like they were not an issue during his day. People were generally in agreement. But what was really interesting as we prayed through this book was to discern like, but what is the like lie underneath, you know, like what is the wound? It's more so Jesus always speaks to a wound deep underneath. Because like, for example, on transgenderism, like what could we possibly find that Jesus spoke to transgenderism? And we really like prayed and thought about it. And really the wound here is it's an identity wound. You know, it's a like, who am I and who gets to define me? That's the question. That's the hurt that a lot of this comes out of. And so we actually in that section talk about the story of Zacchaeus, who really had a bad reputation. A lot of people had a lot of identities that they cast onto him. And, you know, but just him finding his true identity in Jesus Christ through an encounter. And so it's just this reminder that like we discover who we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. Like that to me was the most powerful part of putting together this book, was just really like digging until we found Jesus himself speaking to the wound at the heart of these things. And in them all, I mean, who doesn't still, even as a 41-year-old, I still struggle with identity questions and struggle to allow Jesus to be the one to define me. So, you know, these things that feel really polarizing or really kind of out there and other, you realize like we all have this shared wound that we can really find like common human ground. I hope that's how people perceive it, at least. That was the intent.
Yeah, I feel like that came through in the book.
When you and your husband write it, are you like brainstorm work? Like, just, is it more like, I'm keeping moving my hands, like, is it like a 50-50 or is it?
Oh, well, to be honest, I do all the writing.
Okay.
Bill is, so he's like the business guy. I'm the writer. But he is, he's like a sanguine. I don't know. Do you guys, your person there, like the temperament types? So sanguines are like, they're all about like relationship and conversation and action and tons of people. So he processes out loud. And I'm a melancholic, so I like to go into like a dark room and write poetry, you know. and so he has big ideas, always has big ideas, and he likes to talk them all the way through. And it was a huge adjustment for me in marriage to have someone that always wanted to talk. But like it is amazing, like when you get used to it, like how you can, he really can just hash things out. And then I take notes and I go and process. But
after you drop the kids off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, partnerships and marriage, they're always evolving too.
Yeah, no, it's just like, I can't even like having to, well, getting to work with your husband.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have figured it out after 4 years.
Oh my. No.
Like, do you guys have like a code word of like, we need to stop talking about work? No.
Yeah. Well, we should.
I really do want to hear a little bit about your devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I laughed when I was reading your blog post because you said for a long time you were not into it because of how Caucasian it's depicted in the past. But we'll link to your blog below, of course. But then you said you read the biography of Blessed Charles in Austria and his family's devotion. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like it made it like his love really real to you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read this quote that you said so beautifully. It just, you said you realize that Jesus's heart is the center of everything, culminated in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, so beautiful. And I'm just like wondering what does that actually mean for you? Like for your family, do you have like a big Sacred Heart above your stove? Do you say like a prayer? Like, what do you do with that? Like you, okay, so you've got this devotion. Now you,
we formally consecrated our family on Easter Sunday.
Okay.
So we did that and we're still in this, like,
is that like a priest comes to your house or you guys just do it?
So it's really similar. If you've ever done, what is it? Like 33 days to Morning Glory, like the consecration to Mary or to Jesus through Mary. Gosh, I always mess it up, to Jesus through Mary. Anyway, so it's like that. It's like a kind of a personal prayer. We did have our parish priest bless our family afterwards, but it's a private devotion consecration. We're still really kind of figuring out what that means, but we talk about the Sacred Heart a lot. We have many Sacred Heart images around our house. So the way it kind of happened, my grandma Anne, who I love to death, had this like creepy bust of the Sacred Heart. I don't know if you can picture it. And it was something that was like ceramic that she had painted. I don't know. It was that era, like in the 70s. And I actually inherited it after she died. This was like 7 years ago or something. And it was so terrible that I threw it away just without any guilt. I just was like, ugh.
Well, you didn't want to make it someone else's problem.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I know. And that's how it goes too. And it was just, oh, it was just terrible. So anyways, yeah. So I read that biography of Blessed Charles of Austria. It really, like, it started, I don't know if you've ever had kind of a devotion dogging you, you know, it's just like, all of a sudden it's like popping up in everything I'm reading. Is like in the, you know, I'll read, I have a huge, I'm a huge fangirl of St. Therese. And I'm like, oh my, all of a sudden she's talking about it all the time. We named one of our daughters Bernadette. I was reading one of her biographies. All of a sudden she's talking about it all the time. So it just got to be this point where I'm like, well, everybody is talking about this. And like, I know the heart is important. So then I just kind of like got into it and read about it. And I really did feel the Lord like confirming that, like, this is, like I said in that sentence, it felt like I had found the center point, you know? And so, and I feel like that's true for our family too, because like one of our things that we do every evening in prayer for our family, which they might be doing right now without me, we'll see, is we pray a Divine Mercy Chaplet. We've been doing that for a long time because it's shorter than a rosary.
It's just going to say. Sarah and I used to pray that with a friend every Monday.
Yeah, because we can definitely spend 5 minutes doing that anyway. And it's just like, you know, the overlap between the Divine Mercy and the Sacred Heart, you know, both like this experiencing the blood and water from Jesus's heart, just a focus on his heart. It just sort of felt like everything sort of started to stack and overlap. And I'm seeing that with my kids too. And so the real tipping point, honestly, for me, we actually are working on a program for Formed called The Catholic Parent that's coming out this summer. And one of the main guys there, he was, do you ever meet like these adults that are just, they have brothers that are priests and their kids are so Catholic. They just feel like their parents got something right. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I was asking him, I'm like, okay, like, what did your parents do? Mm-hmm. What was the thing? And like without hesitation, he told me that it was that their family had been consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Mm. He's like, that's it. Anyway, when he said that, I mean, I just had like all these things stacked up. And then he said that and I'm like, well, I guess then there you go. Because I mean, I'm at this point where I'm like, even if this isn't the thing, we're just going to do all the things. So one of them will work. So the ways that I'm screwing up my kids won't be the end of the story, perhaps.
I feel that. And for me, that connects. I recently heard Father John Ricardo talking about how many of us have actually experienced the gospel, people out there, but more so people in the church. Like, and he meant like mm-hmm. in a way where we're overwhelmed by the gospel and like want to surrender everything to it. So just, and what it connected in my mind was my parents. And I was like, my parents definitely did that. Like they experienced being overwhelmed by the gospel and they could articulate to me how that happened for them. And so just like, I don't know, as we're talking to parents about this book and all the topics of Catholic social teaching, if that feels overwhelming or like you're in a stage like me and Annie, where our kids are like several years off from, you know, being 10 or 12. I feel like that's, I mean, the gospel's all, it's good to go back to the gospel and to think like, how am I experiencing Jesus today? And like, how can I articulate that to my kids beyond all these topics, beyond feeling like I have to teach, just kind of like living, living in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, living in his love, his death and resurrection, like for me. And that matters. Just wanted to throw that in there.
I mean, that is so much more valuable.
Nancy, can I ask you, are you willing to share with us what your kids' names are?
Yeah, of course. So our oldest is Augustine, and then Bernadette, Dominic, Josephine, George, and Regina.
Those are great names.
Oh, beautiful. You have no crossover with Sarah, but I know you've also had a miscarriage, Sarah, and I have both had one, and we named our baby Bernadette.
Oh, wow.
And then my youngest is now Dominic.
Oh, yeah?
But we always want to ask people because all these great Catholic names. Wait, did you say you have a George?
Yeah, we do.
Oh my gosh. Do you ever call Regina and George together from Mean Girls? Yeah. Regina George is the main girl in Mean Girls. Someday you're going to be at a park and it's going to be Regina and George. You're going to be like, Regina George. And someone's going to be like, on Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Oh my goodness. I did not put that together. Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm going to go tell my husband. That's hilarious.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for chatting with us. And we are going to link to the Catholic Sprouts podcast for kids and to your blog, and so that listeners can buy this book on Catholic social teaching for youth, which is coming out. It's on sale this May 15th, right? Yeah. And you've got a shop with lots of great stuff. So yeah, just thank you. Thank you for your ministry and for talking with us.
Yeah, I had a blast. Thanks, guys.
We hope you have a great week with lots of laughs with your littles.